Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you Joyful Empowerment with Joanne Gajewski. Greetings and welcome, Joanne. How are you this evening?
Hello, hello. How is everyone tonight out there in Mount Olympus? Thank you for coming on the show. I'm great. Thank you again, Hercules, for everything you do to get this rolling off the ground. And tonight I'm excited to introduce our guest. He's a good friend of mine. I've worked with him on some projects, and he is just very mystical. He's a combination of a wizard, magician, spiritualist, and a Renaissance method actor, all in one. If you could encompass it in a person, it would be the wonderful and amazing Saul Ravencraft. And Saul, welcome to my show and on to Mount Olympus, and tell us a little bit about yourself for people that don't know you.
Thank you so much, Joanne. You have a rare and special opportunity tonight, because my week has been very crazy. I don't know if everybody's familiar with Texas geography, but on Monday, I was doing readings for a corporate event in San Antonio, about an hour and a half away from where I live. And then last night, I was doing readings at a different event in Dallas, which is about 3 hours away from where I live. And that ran from 8 to midnight. And then I had to be up at 6 so I could get over to Nature's Treasures in Austin, where I was doing readings today as their featured practitioner. So I'm feeling little trancy right now. And you are going to have much more unfettered access to my subconscious than most people do when I talk to them.
Maybe so we should be doing
be
readings tonight.
Me.
No, I'm only kidding. No. You have a fascinating backstory to anybody that knows your bio. You started as a skeptic. I know that. But my main question is, if I was to ask you, what brings you joyful empowerment? What does that mean to you, joyful empowerment? Like, what does that word mean
goodness.
For you personally?
So at this specific moment in time, joyful empowerment would be a big bowl of spicy noodles.
Nice.
Because my my idea of empowerment has certainly changed over the years. I remember what it was like when I was younger and what I imagined there. And then later, as I was more involved in the business world and the corporate world, it wasn't so much about the joy as the empowerment.
Yeah.
And then when that rug got pulled out from under me, and I had I went down the rabbit hole pretty severely. I've recognized that I'm not on any particular track. There aren't any rules anymore.
No.
And so I'm doing my best to follow my bliss.
That's awesome. What brought you to that point? Like you said, like what made you decide? Because, you know, you think of corporate world and then you think of the metaphysical world or the magic world or the, you know, however way you want to describe it to the people out there. How do you go from that? Because that's like a big extreme. You know, I asked Dr. Jeremy that too, because he was a Harvard med school graduate, and now he's like, you know, a mystic. And it's like, how do you go from that to that? You know, like what brought you to that point?
What brought me to this lowly state? So the first thing you have to understand, it is a blissful state. I was quoting A Christmas Story. Because that phrase just makes me think of that. So the first thing you have to understand is my background was pretty skeptical. I was raised through a Christian lens, but it was a very pragmatic Christian lens, which is kind of what we're dealing with in general. Right now is this idea of Christian pragmatism, Christian nationalism, it's not mystical as much as it is a society and a movement. And so my spirituality was thin, but I stood by it. And but I was very skeptical when it came to magic and divination and ghosts and all those other superstitions. I was very arrogantly skeptical. I was fascinated by these ideas, but to me they were comic book stuff, not something that you would actually believe in.
I think that was part of our generation, though, as well, that mentality, wasn't it? Like, our parents were like, oh, that's make-believe, you know what I mean? So I think it was also kind of put into us like that.
Well, sure. Moving from so I was a kid. I was born in 67. I was a kid in the 70s. I watched In Search Of and The Twilight Zone and all that great stuff. But moving into the 80s and technology and all that, it was sort of letting go of this woo kind of stuff and getting much more into being number one and what we could do with our own importance. So I didn't have a real good outlook on these kinds of things, but I was still fascinated by them. And I was doing a project where I was doing some writing, and I decided that I wanted to draw upon magical beliefs, right? And not just things I was reading in novels and that kind of thing, but let's dig into what those sorts of people actually believe. And then I can incorporate that, and there will be this sort of internal truth there that people will instinctively connect with and help them buy my fiction with the theater that I was doing at the time. Talk about cultural appropriation. So I was studying these ideas, and every once in a while I'd come across some aspect of magical belief that I went, oh, that kind of makes sense. And then at one point I went, wait a minute. You're buying into this stuff. It's time to apply science. And so I picked numerology to start out with, because numbers, right? And started studying numerology and how to apply it and applying it to myself. And the very first thing I discovered was aspects of how I was naming myself, how I was working with how I used my name. They had some negative connotations that I did not like to see. But if I went back to what I had grown up with, it was a different vibe. It was much more in the creative side and maybe a little flakier in some ways, but much more joyful. And I immediately made changes because I saw that. And I went, wait a minute, look at you buying in on all this. So I started to study more broadly. I looked at other forms of divination. I looked at ideas about magical practice. And I was really enjoying what I was getting into, but I wasn't completely taking it seriously. And then a friend of mine who was a longtime magical practitioner sat me down one day and said, look, you are doing things and you should probably do them on purpose or someone is going to get hurt. And I said, no, that's just silly. And she started going down a list where it was clear that my will was having an effect on the circumstances and the people around me. And that was weird.
That's pretty powerful. I can relate to that.
And then I started having these encounters with people. I inadvertently ended up at Pagan's Night Out at one of the pubs in Austin. Didn't know it was happening, just went to meet a friend. And people were pointing at me like, hey, you. They're like, no. They're like, are you sure? And so that was a little strange. And then I remembered having a conversation with an older guy around a campfire where we were talking about stuff. And at one point he said, well, you are clearly an experienced wizard. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think so. But I was radiating that. And between all of these things, I recognized that I had to start to own this idea a little bit and stop treating it as frivolous and pay more attention. So that's going on quietly in the background during my corporate career. And I'm not necessarily sharing a lot of that with everybody, but you radiate that whether you intend to or not. So people knew I was weird.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah. Everybody always said I had a witchy vibe, even when I was working for the airlines, you know?
All right. What does that mean? So I worked for this major technology corporation for 13 years, and then I didn't. Because that's just the way the world works right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I was just going to slide sideways because I'd done that sort of thing before, but it wasn't happening.
Yep.
And it could be that there was some ageism involved because once we reach a certain point, it's harder to re-engage. You can move upward, right, if you're able to stay in the box. But going to a new place and saying, hey, they're like, well, but look at you.
The tech world is very harsh like that, you know. I was up against, a lot of younger kids once I got laid off from my original job. And it's like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know what I mean? I was in my 30s and I was like, you know what? No, I switched trajectories, you know?
Right. Well, I was in my 40s when this was going on. And in the meantime, the job applications are not working. Getting reestablished is not working. And I got to do something. So I had the opportunity to fall back on my theatrical interests and skills and along with my sort of blossoming acceptance of the metaphysical. And I ended up at a place on 6th Street in Austin called the Museum of the Weird. I did tours and I did performance. And what a lot of people don't know, because the things that I work with, I call them intuition games. They connect with mind reading concepts and divination concepts and some of my haunted artifacts and that sort of thing. And so if people want to just think about it as a magic show, they are welcome to do that. I got nothing to prove. But there's gray going on in there between the theater.
Well, if you know, and, you know what they say.
yeah. And so I was
if
doing
you know,
that.
You know.
And broadening into other versions of my offerings. Eventually, I hooked up with the place that gives me the corporate gigs. And I've done palm reading for PayPal and tarot readings for Amazon. There's room for growth. We're working on finding ways to get me busier. But they really do give me a lot of opportunities. And so all of this was going together, and I was making the bills, right?
That's awesome how that just fell into place for you like that. So you know what I mean?
And that was 10 years ago.
That's kind of magical on its own way, you know what I mean? That empowering, like, you followed your gut or your joy or your passion or your interest, whatever. And you know, all of a sudden it's like you just said, hey, you're making the bills, you're doing this. And I think that's pretty incredible, you know. That's a pretty powerful message.
And what's interesting at this stage, I've had a lot of indoctrination over my life about how things are supposed to be, what you can do, what you can't do, especially when it's in the arena of the entertainment world and how you connect with people. And I'm finally hitting a stage this year where I'm recognizing that I should be doing whatever the hell I want.
Mm-hmm. Being your authentic self, like that's what I've been calling it.
Right.
Because like you said, we put on masks, like you have to be this way in a relationship or you have to look like this or you have to act like this. And then you reach a point where you're just kind of like, wait a minute. No, I don't. You know, you hit your authentic point, I think. Or does that make any sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, I liken it to the difference between the Hollywood machine that ran for so long and the emergence mm-hmm. of the so-called independent film movement, which is not as independent as it used to be. What is emerging further is sort of the maverick film industry, where people are able to use technology to go shoot stuff and no one can stop them. And they can create stuff that Hollywood would never do and make it available to people. Not the same level that film distribution happens, but in a way that they can connect with their audience. And I feel like
absolutely.
I'm going through a similar sort of thing.
Like WizCon and other events, like you said, like WitchCon or things online, like all the material. I mean, I wish we had that back in the day. I mean, we had to go look at books and Trek and, you know, it wasn't easy back then if you wanted to study these things like it is today.
Right. And what that does is it sheds the illusion of the limitations. And you mm-hmm. are in a better position to just go, well, I want to try this. I don't know if it'll work or not. But it feels good, and the barrier to experimenting is really low. And so that's where I am. I don't fully understand it yet, but I've gotten very excited about ignoring this entire section of judgment and criticism and permission mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And just seeing what universe I can create.
Absolutely. Going with the flow.
It's fun.
I think that's pretty great, you know, because in all reality, we should be doing what's called to us, like our purpose, our joy, our empowerment, our passion. What do you love to do, you know? And that should be kind of like a guide point, because like you said, when we tried to get back in the tech world, it wasn't working. You know what I mean? I actually went back to restaurant work and hotel work and things like that for a while until I, mm-hmm. you know, decided, hey, I like working with people. I like working with kids. I want to help in that area of life. You know, I went into the mental health field.
Right.
And, you know, right. you find your joy and your passion that way, you know. I never thought I'd be podcasting, you know, or anything like that. I mean, you know, I just went outside the box, you know, because of people like you and Hercules that were like, hey, you should do this, you know. And I was like, really? I'm just Joanne, you know. Like, what do I have to bring to the table? But, you know, obviously we all have something to bring to the table and a message to bring to people to help them when they're feeling at a point in their life. Like you said, you get laid off from your job. You've been doing it for years. You're not as young as you used to be. And it's like, you know, what do you do next? You know? And sometimes you just got to look inward.
Right. And you discover that Joanne is more than enough.
Yeah. And you know, I've had to work on that. That's always been my issue. You know, I'm always trying to do better. And, you know, I'm in constant battle with myself. And I tell my, you know, I tell my clients that too. I'm like, look, it's constant work. I have to, you know, work on myself every day. I'm not, you know, I have my issues. You know, I compete with myself. Like, what can I do next? And it's like, I have to stop that. When can I just be and be authentic and take that mask off and be Joanne, you know?
Right, right. And it's interesting when you start to shift your path in that way. Our culture really teaches us that what we need to do is find a rich white person and do what we're told, and and all will be well. That isn't the way it bears out.
Yeah,
because they don't take care of you. And when you start to turn your energy, you start to reclaim it from these places that you've been lending it, and you start to pull it back. I still enjoy technology. Deep, difficult technological things. But I do them for me.
Yeah.
And my client is very happy. My client completely appreciates everything that I'm doing.
Yeah, but that's, you know, something, though, that's a perfect thing, because think about it. Learning that skill gave you the knowledge to do what you do today, to be able to reach the audience that you reach. If you don't have a technical an idea, I mean, I'm not the best with, voice and recordings and podcasts, but I'm pretty technically savvy. And if you're not, this isn't going to work for you at all. As you recall, we went through that. You have to have an idea of what you're doing. It looks easy, but it's kind of not, you know. Did the internet go down? I lost the recording, you know.
It's a practice.
And it kind of led you. It was something you needed to get from point A to point B, maybe, you know, on the journey.
Right. Well, but the other thing, because I've seen your work on technical things and some hard technical things, and you sell yourself way short. You are much better than you give yourself credit for. But we all hit hard things that are harder than they're supposed to be, and we can't control the whole universe. But one of the other things that you're bringing up that I think is so important, people have this idea that you find the balance and you live happily ever after. You figure out the things and everything just continues down that beautiful path. But we transform. We are much less a Disney princess and much more the phoenix, constantly rising from the ashes.
Yep. Yep.
And we have to transform over and over and over and over again. And when you decide that your life is not a movie that ends happily ever after, but you're more like a TV series.
Is
this
saga.
The week that Voyager will find the way home? Well, I don't know. Is the series canceled? No. Well, then probably not. Because that's the premise of the series. And you get more so that you enjoy the ride. You appreciate the adventures, and you appreciate all of the things that you find that wouldn't happen if it was the same thing over and over again, which would drive me bananas.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the one regret that I do have, is that I was so career-oriented at one point, because that was my way of hiding. That was kind of like my, my coping mechanism. I'd throw myself into my work and just, I won't have to deal with myself, right? So, and that is so true. You know, I threw myself into that and to kind of hide, and I regret that. I wish I had, when I first started working for the airline industry running the departure networks, I would be like, anytime I went to a new city, I'd make the whole group go, okay, what's this city famous for? The St. Louis Arch? All right, let's go. Or the Empire State Building? All right, we're there, and that, I lost that joy and I became the job, you know what I mean? And that's the sad part about it. It becomes a rat race.
Well, it does, but I want to look at a couple of thoughts that you said. One, you talked about regret. There's a card in my Halloween Oracle deck, which is, I think it's a great word for the conversation. The ghost card is about regret, because the ghost is anchored to something, some business that was unfinished, some truth that was untold, and it can't go into the light. It has to dwell on this mistake. And that's, I mean, we have to acknowledge where we didn't do our best. We have to also acknowledge when we did do our best, and our best just was not enough that day. And we can't dwell on the regret. We have to go into the light. We have to move forward. So you're not even halfway done yet, Joanne. Right? And while things might have been different if you had gained your enlightenment more easily, you have it now. And so what happened happened. It built you in the way that you are. And we can't regret the way that you are, because because what else would we have, right? And so the regret does no good. It's from here forward, always.
Yep. Well, I'm definitely a walking contradiction. So, yes, that's true. I would not be the quirky me that I am if it was not for, I mean, people look at me and they're like, "You're serious?" I'm like, yes, I lived an extraordinary life. I've traveled. I've done a lot of things. I've learned a lot through those things. You know, I remember getting my enlightenment top of the Rocky Mountains during a sunset. I had like an enlightenment. I'm in the middle of the wilderness, like 10,000 feet above sea level, and I looked out into the world, and I was like, wow. Something made this out of nothing, you know, the sky that looks like a painting. And I knew right then and there that there was just a divine energy out there, a collective that, you know, was out there.
I think a lot of people miss what is extraordinary about them because it doesn't match their vision of what extraordinary means.
Or society's vision.
A quick story. Back when I was spending more time in the company of stage magicians, I was at a gathering with several of them. We were hanging out in the bar. I did bring out the tarot cards, which bothered some of them because they knew that I meant it and wasn't supposed to do that. So we're sitting around. At one point, the conversation centers around one guy who is trying to develop his work. And he has this vision of who he wants to be, how he wants to be seen, who he wants to emulate. And he wants to be more exciting, but he just can't do it because there's nothing really exciting about him. And, you know, we're having this conversation, not sure what to say. And then it drifts away from that, and he starts telling a story. Now, he is from Greece, like speaks Greek from Greece. And he was telling us a story where he was diving in Greece on the shore, and this octopus grabbed him and wrapped its tentacles around his throat and tried to drag him to the bottom. And he wrestled this octopus up onto the shore and killed it with his knife. We are sitting there with our mouths hanging open. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, here's what I am right now. I'm like, what?
And he didn't see that there was anything interesting about him.
That's wild.
Right?
I've never done anything that wild, but, you know, no wrestling Cthulhu
but
here.
But everybody is... Everybody is unique. Everybody is they've got special stuff. They got unique stuff that has happened to them. It may not be the story that they wished for. It may not match what they've been told is great or exciting or valuable, but the universe doesn't make mistakes. And this, I think, is the most frustrating thing, that people spend so much time reaching for what they think is supposed to make them happy, supposed to make them blissful, supposed to bring them what they desire, that they miss all of the glorious bounty, right? The power that they've already got.
No, and that's so true because, you know, and I liken it to, I'm living up here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It is vacation land. It's like living in a snow globe in the winter and waterfalls and just gorgeousness in the summer. And I don't need to tell you about the fall. Now, anyways, people here walk around like miserable a lot. And it's like I go out and I'm like, who the hell has a mountain vista when they go to Walmart? How can I be a miserable here? When I'm going to Walmart, I'm not looking at bumper-to-bumper traffic and you know, just city things that just, you know, I love the city, but it has, you know what I mean? I'm looking at a mountain vista with an eagle in the parking lot. How can I complain about my life right now, you know?
But, you know, people get complacent. They're living in a paradise, but they got to go buy toilet paper.
Yeah. It's true though, but it's, you know, and we need to really, you know, Frances Billinghurst says this all the time. We need to reconnect with whether you want to call it the divine feminine, Mother Earth. I mean, we need to be paying more attention to that than the toilet paper at times. You know what I mean? My husband works at a toilet paper factory, and we're not going to be running out anytime soon.
really?
No, he does. He works at a toilet paper mill.
That is so weird and awesome.
He worked through the whole pandemic. He was not out of work, and toilet paper was available, so he's not going to run out.
Well, I appreciate him. I appreciate him quite a bit.
Yes, a lot of people did.
When you ask about joyful empowerment, and so for me, what it's been like for me is a constant stream of revelations. What I thought was my joy and what I thought was my power. And then I go through another threshold and go, oh, no, this is even more joyful and powerful.
Yeah.
And then there's another threshold. I go, oh, and it should. And this is something I was talking to someone about the other day. It was during a reading. If your spirituality, if your path, if where you are putting your energy is not bringing you joy, if you're waiting for some payoff at some point that makes it all worthwhile. Maybe you're digging in the wrong place.
Yeah.
If
also
your magical practice,
to be a jerk to other people.
Well, sure. That sort of Machiavellian approach to who's gonna be on top. But I find that with people's magical practice, that there's just. You know, there's the drama llamas and the criticism and all of that kind of thing. I mean, connecting with the universe to manifest things has got to be the coolest, most joyful thing ever.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling that, something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and
but it's not wrong with you.
You know, I love the people I connect with because it is. It's a very diverse community, not going to lie. Like you said, you get all kinds. But when you find the good people, you know, and they empower you and they help bring that out of you. You know what I mean? That goodness out of you, you know. They help pull those things out. You know, that's why I love talking to like you, Hercules, Dr. Jeremy, Yeshi. If it wasn't for Yesha, we wouldn't have a name for my show. I don't know what it would be called. I did a New Year's event with her, and, you know, we had to come up with our, you know, name for the year or our word for the year coming up, you know. And I was like, oh, empowerment. Right. Then we also had to look at the negative aspects of empowerment. You don't want to empower illness or this, you know. So she's like, you know, what would be a word to counter that? And I was like, oh, joyful empowerment. So when Hercules, which I didn't think he was going to call me, called me and said, hey, he's like, do you have a name for your show? And I was like, and then I was like, I looked at my paper that I had over my thing, and I'm like, joyful empowerment.
Yeah.
So,
Love it.
It's funny how that worked out.
There's a concept in improvisational theater called yes and. Because when you're doing improv, you're making stuff up. And everybody on stage together has to be able to trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no throwing each other under the bus. And so the idea is that if you and I are doing a scene and one of us contributes a concept to the scene, we don't deny it. We don't argue it. That's truth, right? You are speaking truth. The sky is green. Yes, it is. With puffy little purple clouds, right? But and so the idea is first you say, yes, I agree with what you've said. You have told the truth. I am incorporating that reality. But there's the and, right? So, yes, the sky is green, and I see little purple clouds. And if everybody does that well, you get something that grows in complexity, but it doesn't make anyone comfortable. It's just continuous revelation. And I think that to really find your tribe, to find your spot, you need to find those yes and people.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that when you proclaim what it is that you are experiencing, that they go, yes, and they enlighten you with something further. You got to stay away from the no but people.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's perfect.
If someone's not helping you grow what you're discovering, especially those that are trying to take it away, my goodness, what is it about us that needs to eviscerate others to feel good about our own path?
I have no
idea.
Can't
we all just get
along?
Like
I said, I called. Well, you know, I went through the grand culling in 2022. I cut so many things out of my life, and I just go with what empowers me. I took that joyful empowerment, and I took it literal. I'm like, if it's not going to bring me joyful empowerment, then you know, no. You know, I'm always posting. You need a wristband to get around my energy because it's true. If it's not going to benefit me, and it's going to make me feel like crap, I'm not doing it anymore. No.
Well, and people again, they confuse that word empowerment. They think it's about control. They think it's about dominance, because that's the way our culture likes to use those kinds of words. And it's really about having a smile on your face more often than not, getting up and looking forward to whatever the day is going to bring you. I'll be honest.
And that was what it was looking at the other side of the word. You know, when Yesha said, you know, there's also a negative aspect to empowerment. And so, yes, you're correct. That is absolutely right.
So I'm going to be honest with you and the listeners. You can therapize me if you need to. But I've recognized that.
No, I think this is fabulous.
The biggest challenge that I am facing is a level of jealousy about things that I'm not achieving in the way that I thought I should have, and a feeling of not being respected in the way that I think I should be. I get overly frustrated when I'm, you know, for example, with a technical thing, when I'm trying to solve a technical problem and someone looks at old white bearded Saul and goes, oh, he probably doesn't know anything about technology. Here, I will give him basic troubleshooting techniques. but you know, I get miscast, and I should be able to laugh that off.
No, when you have to call tech support, did you try turning the PC on and off? I'm like, listen, I've opened it up. I've looked at the hard drive. I've checked the power supply. Everything looks fine. I cleaned out the inside, dusted it. And they're like, holy crap, you know, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I'm – no, we need to go deeper.
Please hold while I transfer you to level two. but it's funny the ways that I'm underestimated, and that shouldn't be something that makes me angry. It should be something that's fun and joyful. But I'm still overcoming some of my shadows about how I was taught to be seen and perceived and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it causes
me
to deal with that with less grace sometimes. And that is the big shadow that I'm working on.
I think you're hitting on a point. Saul, you're hitting on a point that a lot of people, I think more people than you know, relate to what you're saying. I really do.
Well, I hope so.
I think
that's why I'm telling everyone.
I think we get underestimated a lot, you know.
And we get told that our interests and our perspective, you know, I was a big Star Trek fan when I was in middle school. That won me a lot of friends.
I know, the Trouble with Tribbles. I would have been your friend. I love the Trouble with Tribbles.
and I think we get this idea early on, unless we're able to break free of it. And whenever you break free is the right time, right? It's never too late.
Yeah.
But we have this idea that we can explain it to people, that we can get them to understand why these things bring us joy and why these things are fun and interesting and valuable. And you can't. you are not the idiot whisperer.
Yeah. No, some people just don't get it. They look at you like you have 11 heads and it's like, you know, well, what are you doing? You know, and I just, you know, like I said, I would have said, no, I'm not going to do a podcast. I could never do that. But you know what? I did that 180. I do things that I wouldn't normally do, you know, and I did.
Right.
And, you know, I've been having a lot of fun doing it. I've been learning so many things from so many wonderful people, and it's really cool to, and it helps other people relate too, because you realize, hey, I'm not that unique. You know, other people feel this way, you know, and I can get through it. And because let me tell you, we got enough crap in the world today that, you know, I want to empower people with joy and good things. You know, I didn't want to do another witchy show.
Right.
I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Show me or, you know, let's discuss this. I wanted it to be just about empowering people of all different kinds and, you know, diverse population and what brings them joy and how they get through it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's
a shame,
a really
though,
cool
that
journey.
You can do is show them the door. You
mm-hmm.
can't make them do the work. You can't make them go through it. You can create as clear a path as you can, but it's always up to each individual to find their own aha moment where they realize
mm-hmm.
that they've been carrying these lies around in their head and they don't
mm-hmm.
have to do that anymore. They can just stop that and do this.
Yeah. It's a holistic process. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not going to down therapy obviously because that's what I do, but you can't just do therapy and expect to be better. It's a holistic thing. If you're not aligned through the mind, body, and spirit, I say this all the time, you got to have that alignment in there. You have to work on all three. Like, if you're going to therapy, but you're still doing, you know, coping strategies that are unhealthy for you, it's not going to work. You know what I mean? You're being counterproductive. If you're not taking care of your body and your health, you know, it's a whole lifestyle change. And that's what, you know, it's not just one thing or another or a medication or this, you know. And that's what I try to showcase, you know. It's work. You got to show up. I think Tim Shaw says that all the time. Got to show up, you know.
Right. Well, and it's akin to the sobriety programs. We had this idea that, you know, I'm in therapy with you. You're going to give me the magic phrase, and suddenly all the switches are going to flip, and I'll be filled with joy. You know, sobriety is one of those things where it's constant effort to do that. And if you're sober for 10 years and then last night you're not, you start over again on day one.
Yeah.
And they don't shame you about it. They don't say, oh my God, you wasted 20 years. Right. They just go, okay, congratulations for day one. Let's keep it going. And we have to do the same things with ourselves. We're not going to fix everything in one instance. We're gonna get a little bit of enlightenment, a little bit more power. We're gonna do it, and then we're gonna not do it so well one day, and the next day is a do-over. That's true of every successful anyone you've ever known.
Yeah.
The rest
the
is
power
marketing.
To show up to be, you know, true. You know, it's showing up. It's getting in the nitty gritty. There is nothing easy about the work, but you know, I hate to use that saying as a therapist, but in order to get over it, you got to go through it. And what that means is you have to acknowledge and validate those emotions, and you have to release them.
Right.
Right. And then you have to move forward. And how do you do that? You change, you know, you go talk to a counselor, spiritual therapist, whatever. You get your spirituality aligned, go to church, make an altar in the woods, whatever it is that you do. Right. You do that. You start getting healthy and making better choices to what you put in your body. Right. And all of a sudden things start to turn around. Why? Because you're putting that intent and that energy into what you're doing, right? And like anything with magic, it's about intent. So if you have that intention and you put it in there, it's going to work. Is it going to work overnight? No. But I'll tell you, you'll wake up 3 months later and be like, wow, this is a little bit better. I have a little bit more of this. Or, you know, I got a promotion at work, or I got a new opportunity. You know, I got hooked up with Amazon to read tarot cards, you know. I mean, and these are the things that happen, you know.
Well, and there's no shame in it. There's no more shame.
My dad used to tell me to get out of life what you put into it.
Absolutely. But there's no more shame in this process of emotional healing than taking the steps to heal a cut on your finger. You cleanse the wound. Mm-hmm. You bandage the wound. You take care of the wound until it grows back. And we don't whine and cry because we just cut our finger and it's not better yet.
Yeah.
There's a way that it works, and this is the same thing. I don't know where the stigma came from that says that emotional healing is somehow abnormal.
Well, and my daughter said that too, Saul. She's like, you know, why do I have to be constantly positive? What is this obsession with, you know, my friends? It's always like, oh, you know, and it's like, I'm not all positive all the time. And I said, and that is okay. We have to get out of this, you know. It's okay to not be okay, but it doesn't mean you live in it. No. You're not okay. You acknowledge it and you do what you need to do to get out of it. Absolutely. But you don't not be, you know, you don't like pretend to be happy. And I think this is, you know, this is something that happens a lot, you know, where people are like, they're masking, you know, I have to portray myself as positive all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic. That's not realistic. At the end of the day, you give it to spirit. You know, I do my nightly self-care routine. I include where I give all the garbage of the day to spirit. I do my little devotion, and I let it go.
Right.
You know?
And hopefully you have a cat available to help with some of that.
Oh, yes. I have 4 cats now. One of them looking right at me right now. He loves to
be
part of
the... When
in doubt,
add another cat.
Absolutely. You know. But, yeah, no. Well, one of them, I swear, is a shapeshifter. But anyway. He'll be in one place and then in another, but you don't see him move from one place to the other. He'll just be like in front.
Right.
I'm like, how do you do that? I don't know. But so if people want to get
cool.
a hold of you or book a reading or what, you know, how do people, you know, want to get in touch with Saul? How do they do it?
Well, the name Saul Ravencraft is not hard to find. I don't know of any other Saul Ravencrafts out there, honestly.
Well, you're my
and
one
I do
and
check
only
occasionally.
Saul Ravencraft, so. Yeah.
So on social media, mostly Facebook, because I tend to talk in sentences, you'll be able to find me by just looking up Saul Ravencraft. I also have my webpage, saulravencraft.com, and there's ways to get onto the mailing list and all that sort of thing. And my goal right now is to try and innovate and find ways to do things that are just interesting to the people that want to do this stuff. What stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I'm making this up as I go. There's some virtual things that are coming once I understand what that is.
Yep.
And you just reach out, hide and watch. No, join.
I'm going to have you on here. I'm definitely going to have you on here again. You know this.
This was such a great
conversation, and I really think you resonated with a lot of people. I really do. You know, I know you resonated a lot with me. You know, I don't know if it's because we were born in '67 or what, but you know, I related a lot to a lot of what you said, and a very similar, you know, dynamic as to the career and everything. And then getting laid off, and you know, what do I do now?
Yeah,
I totally can relate. It's definitely a crazy journey, you know. And now, can people book you for events too, or are you open to that?
Absolutely. So I do workshops in areas of my interest, and I'll create a workshop for something that someone's interested in. Divination, a lot of corporate events where I'm set up as a reader, where I'm doing brief, like 5-minute readings for people so they get to experience that. I also do performance. I'm going to be at Sherwood Forest Fair, a medieval fair in Texas that starts this weekend, blend lore with intuition games and even a little bit of paranormal stuff going on there. Can you believe we can do that?
Have you ever done King
Fair?
Richard's Fair up in Mass?
I haven't. And a lot of it is about travel and being involved. And I know some people that do the Ren Fair circuit. I got involved in this one because I work with a colleague of mine. I write and direct his show. And then kind of got an opportunity to do my stuff there. But being on the road and going all over the place is hard. It's hard to get in a situation where it pays for itself. And
you're always
plus
on the road.
I want to do these other things. I want to do these other things.
Know.
And so I get my taste of it.
No,
and then
I
go back in
the
air conditioning.
Every time I call you, because, you know, when I have a better call Saul,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, I'm on the road. I'm like, you're always on the road. What are you talking about?
And
I think I've
and you know that's
home,
one
like,
of the things
twice.
That I wanted. So, not
careful what you wish
can't
for.
Whine about it. Yeah, yeah.
No.
And that's
and
what
I
this
love,
week has
you
been
know,
like.
And I'm excited to get to that aspect again. You know.
Yeah. My goodness, Joanne.
Well, I hope
this,
we can
this is so much fun. I know we have an audience, but it feels like we've just been hanging out.
Yes, and that's what I tell everybody. It's like, wow, it felt like it was just me and you hanging out having coffee. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's very, and it goes by like really quick, because at first I was like, how am I going to fill an hour, you know? And it is. It's just like two people talking, and you don't have to worry about what you look like. I'm in my PJs drinking coffee, looking at my cat and talking to you, and it's just like us hanging out, like you said.
Well, I will admit, because I was working today, I look fabulous.
I was cleaning all day. Trust me, I look fabulous too.
Well, and our fabulous is not the same either every day either.
You know, and I want to thank everybody that's listening to tonight and to any past episodes, whether it's live or on demand. We hope we've enlightened you a little bit. So any last words for the audience or any words of wisdom from the Grand Wizard Saul Ravencraft?
Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That doesn't mean what some people think it means. It really is about love.
And on that note,
that is
a post. Three more minutes until time expires. Great to be quoting Crowley.
Yes. Any questions from you, Hercules, for our guest? Or
no, I was very...
Any input for us? Any insight?
Entertained, and I have a few things, perspectives that you offered to think about, so I'm grateful for your show.
Well, I thought of you because I know you've done a lot of acting and stuff as well. And I was like, I'm like, wow, Hercules can really relate to this too on some parts, I think, you know?
Yeah, I found in life too, just be yourself and do what you really want to do. There's a way to do it, definitely. life is short and you only have one life that you really know of. So you might as well make the most of it.
Well,
wise
you're not
advice
done unless
from
you
wise
give up.
People. Yeah.
Very true.
Well, I'm grateful for all of you, and thank you for being on. Thank you for having me, Hercules. And I wish everybody out there a wonderful evening.
And thank you, Joanne and Saul, for an excellent, thought-provoking, and fun show. And thanks to a wonderful audience for tuning in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody.
And joyful empowerment. Mwah.